Welcome back to Through the Word. I'm your host, Peyton Jones, and today we'll be in 1 Chronicles chapter 27. In this chapter, we see how David organized his army. So far, we've seen how the Levites were organized in worship and how the doorkeepers of the Levites were also organized, but they were organized by the military. And in 1 Chronicles chapter 27, we get to see how the military organized itself. Now, there was a division of labor according to each of the tribes of Israel, who would serve from the 11 tribes of Israel, because if you remember, the Levites were already serving in the temple. But each of the 11 tribes would serve 24,000 men at a time, just like the Levites. As long as they could fill that, they were a bit like the National Guard, called up to serve, and then they would go back to their regular jobs as winemakers, fishermen, shepherds, or carpenters. In addition, there were overseers of responsibilities. Now, I'm going to read through these responsibilities because they give an indicator of some of David's responsibilities as a king. In other words, you get an insight into what he had to govern over, and we rarely get a glimpse into the everyday worries that weigh the heavy head that wears the crown in the Bible. Now, I train a lot of young people aspiring to go into ministry, particularly church planting. I watch very gifted and able young people attempt to become church planters and fail because they lack the quality of a work ethic. Put another way, it's just good old-fashioned responsibility. But here's the funny thing about responsibility. You gotta take it. That's right, if you want more responsibility, you gotta take more responsibility to get more responsibility. Starting at verse 25, we get to see some of what of the responsibilities were that the king's overseers, or kind of like David's governors, what they had to look after. Verse 25 tells us about the royal storehouses. Then Jonathan, son of Uzziah, was in charge of the storehouses in the outlying districts, in the towns, in the villages, and the watchtowers. Esri, son of Caleb, was in charge of the workers who farmed the land. Shimei the Ramathite was in charge of the vineyards. Then there was also the vineyards and the produce for the wine vats in verse 27. In verse 28, we hear about the olive and sycamore fig trees on the western foothills and the olive oil that was made from them. Then we get the herds grazing in the valley of Sharon and all the herds in the other valleys. Obil the Ishmaelite was in charge of the camels in verse 30. And Jehadiah the Menethite was in charge of the donkeys. Jaziz the Hagrite was in charge of the flocks, verse 31, and all these officials in charge of King David's property. Jonathan, David's uncle, was a counselor, a man of insight, and a scribe, and Jehiel, son of Hachmonai, took care of the king's sons. Ahithophel was the king's counselor. Hushai the Archite was the king's confidant. Ahithophel was succeeded by Jehoiada, son of Bediah, and Abiathar. Joab was the commander of the royal army. Now, those are just some of the responsibilities that David had because he wore the crown. But here's the deal. Often sloth or a failure to complete tasks is an indication that young men and young women are not responsible or ready for the responsibility of leadership. And so in the church, we often have to make sure that that work ethic or that ability to either take responsibility is there before they can be entrusted with little things so that they can be entrusted with great things. Warren Wiersbe, one of my favorite commentators, had a plaque on his desk that said, "Remember, no matter what small space you occupy, somebody is always measuring you for a bigger one." You know, I was raised by a Scandinavian Lutheran, and he used to tell me, "Hey, show up to work 10 minutes early, and trust me, your bosses will notice." And guess what? I did that in a hospital as an RN, and within a year, I was in hospital administration, and I could see very clearly that it was because I showed up 10 minutes early. You know, other indicators of personal issues that need to be worked out are a high degree of debt or inability to deliver on promises made, or keeping appointments. And when I train up leaders, I look for all these kinds of things, probably the same kinds of maturity levels that David was looking for in all these people that governed for him in these various areas. In other words, like the proverb says, like vinegar sets the teeth on edge, so a messenger who fails to carry out his errand. In other words, someone who doesn't take responsibility can be one of the most difficult things to deal with in life. Therefore, it points to a gap in the ability to undertake the necessary responsibility of caring for God's people. Therefore, leadership often involves people that have a certain emotional intelligence or maturity level. Now, Paul made a few statements about his own work ethic in the New Testament. Get this, in 2 Corinthians 11:23 says, "I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again." But did you catch that? I worked much harder than anyone. He also says in 1 Corinthians 15:10, "By the grace of God, I am what I am, and this grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than any of them. Yet not I, but the grace of God was with me." Paul still gives credit to God, but he does say, "I had to roll up my sleeves and work pretty hard." Now, today we call this work ethic, and Paul had the moral fiber or character to work circles around most of us. We speak of someone in terms of being sacrificial, industrious, and diligent. You see, Paul wore out young men and ate hirelings for breakfast. Listen to him describe what he's modeling for those he left behind in the churches he planted. "For you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us, because we were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it. But with toil and labor we worked night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. It was because we do not have that right, but to give you in ourselves an example to imitate." 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 7 through 9. Leadership in any area of your life, young people, will mean hard work and taking responsibility. Few young people are ready for the amount of multitasking they'll encounter in the process, and serving God takes organizational skills, communication skills, and interpersonal skills. I've seen people wanting to become ministers who will only do the work that puts them in the limelight in front of others. They never lift a hand unless it's to lift their phone to take a selfie, or engage in some other activity that puts all the attention back on them. And that's the worst reason to ever go into ministry. Yet there's still a plethora of tasks that leaders have to do behind the scenes to care for others that they don't want to. On the one hand, preaching, adventure, open road, radical conversions, and intimate groups beckon. Yet more ungratifying tasks line the path to ministry. In church planning, money is an issue, and you don't have people you can hire, so you'll find yourself rolling up your sleeves, taking a deep breath, sucking it up, and jumping feet first into the stupid stuff you hate. When people are critical of your time, you simply smile. They have no idea what you do behind the scenes, and you don't need to tell them. But like Paul, you know that you're working harder than most. You see, Paul was stoned, shipwrecked, hungry, endured sleepless nights and nakedness as the price tag attached to church planting in the first century. I mean, what's a little pistol pushing after all? Here's the reality for most things regarding your job. Anything worth having in life is worth working hard for. And in ministry as well as life, you'll work hard or nothing hardly works. What would happen if the kingdom of God were suddenly put on your shoulders? Can you imagine what Paul must have felt when he undertook the ministry to reach the entire Gentile unbelieving world? Well, think about that for a second. At some point, believer, you'll have to take responsibility. I imagine I'm speaking to young people out there on the edge. You're on the edge of life, getting ready to jump off that cliff and take the world by the tail. Just remember as you prepare to leap that for anything worth having in life, you'll work hard or you'll be hardly working in future. Well, thanks for joining us today on 1 Chronicles chapter 27 on Through the Word, and I'll see you tomorrow for chapter 28.
Join us next time as we continue the journey one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing and hearing through the Word.